I think, to be honest, whenever Rainey scored that sixth try with about 12 minutes to go, Miles, they wanted to score more tries, but they weren't committing themselves too much. I think the players realised no point getting injured and whenever you've got your five bonus points because you can't get any more. Mm-hmm. You score another three or four tries, it doesn't really make any difference. But from Derry's point of view, again, yesterday, it's not good. And the fact that Dungannon absolutely thrashed Harlequins. So it looks like Harlequins and Derry at the moment are... Well, Harlequins are propping up the table on 3 points. Derry are on five. The next one is Sunday's Wells have 11. Dungannon's up now to 14 and Barnhall 16. So, you know, that's... When you look at five until 11, that's 6 points. That means two victories and you wonder sometimes where they're going to come from. The next game is Barnhall on a fortnight's time down there, and that again is going to be difficult because Barnhall gave Wanderers quite a good game a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, I really don't see where results are coming from. Dungannon, last year we beat them home and away, but and they haven't been going all that well, but you think maybe that resurgence yesterday against Harlequins will have lifted them and given them the confidence. But all in all, my six tries to one, Derry were outscored, and really, the thing that annoyed me, and I think it disappointed a lot of people, was I actually gave up after 65 minutes jotting down penalties. Derry conceded over 20 penalties in the first hour of that game. And, I mean, they conceded 8 in the first 15 minutes. I mean, time and again, you could hear the referee saying, leave it, but players were going on over and giving away. Having said that, Rainey actually, I don't even think they kicked anything for goal. They kicked everything in the corner, hoping to roll over the lines. And really, you know, that's something that has to be addressed very, very quickly.
Okay, well, we've discussed City of Derry a number of times. Let's go to OMA AIL 2C, playing Bangor, 6 points apiece.
Yeah, I was talking to Alan McKenna, and he said it was just a good old-fashioned sort of game, two penalties each, played a hard games, and both sides will probably be very happy because it keeps Bangor third and 19, it keeps OMA fourth and 18, and really, it's been a great start for OMA, and I mean, that sort of platform after seven games is going to do them no harm because I know there's another 11 games to go, but certainly they have... There's only one game they have failed to get a point out of, and that's very, very important. Two away wins, of course, as well. Plus, you know, they beat Beckett very, very strongly at home. But from OMA's point of view, they'll be delighted, and as you say, a good result too for Bangor.
Okay, let's move to the action in the provincial and regional results.
Well, unfortunately, I was talking to somebody there today, and Derry conceded the game to Banbridge in that provincial two. Derry seconds, and you know that unfortunately is a microcosm maybe of what's going on. It's not good at all, certainly. And that one, the Donegal Cookstown conceded to Donegal Town and the Roby Regional West. But then a Skilling proved too strong for Saban by 26 points to 12, and that really, Miles, was all the Roby was played yesterday. Obviously because of the big game in Dublin between Ireland and South Africa.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's turn to that match. Ireland 38, South Africa 3. Did you expect such a comprehensive victory for Ireland?
I didn't, Miles. And to be honest, you know, the more it went on, you kept saying to yourself, is this real? Is this, you know, because let's be honest, we're talking here about a team that had given the All Blacks in Australia quite a strong run during the championship and all the rest of it. But really, If you were really honest, I don't think Ireland played all that well, but they still won by 38 points to 3. And if you can do that, I mean, Joe Smith will be absolutely delighted with what happened. And I felt it was a game almost of two halves in the sense of the wingers. In the first half, Andrew Conway literally had the ball all the time, scored a fantastic try. And generally, every time he got the ball, he looked dangerous. You know, this is a guy who was rejected in the Leinster Academy and went to Munster. And he has certainly put himself in the van now. He's been playing well for the last 2 years for Munster. And it's great to see him get the opportunity to play against South Africa. And certainly, even though Keith Ayres is injured, that right wing spot for him. Second half, Stockdale. He never seen the ball in the first half, but all of a sudden in the second half, he saw it. Every time he got the ball, he was making yards and yards. and took a score really well. But apart from that, he did well just generally breaking, and his offloading was good. So those two guys will be absolutely delighted with their performances. I know they did play, I know Stockdale did get a couple of caps against Japan in the summer, but for Conway and him, that's really the first big test they had, and they came through with flying colours.
They certainly did. I suppose a couple of things. Once upon a time, not so long ago, Ireland crying out for props, wondering whether to get them. They went out to get Michael Bentwist from New Zealand. Look at the style and look at the impact these new men have. And I suppose the biggest example was three new front rowers in, push South Africa right off the ball and end up in a try.
Well, that's it. I mean, you talked about Michael Bent, and I mean, we joked about him before. Michael was always bent on the scrum, Miles, as you well know. He never really fulfilled. He came over here with a reputation, got a couple of cheap international caps. But as you say, I mean, when Tadhg Furlong went off, Dave Ryan came on, and this boy Dave Ryan wouldn't have been probably in the squad had Finlay Beelam not been injured. So, you know, you're taking it back to almost a third choice coming on. Delighted to see Rob Hearn getting a chance, because I've, as you know, said that when he plays for Ulster, he's a genuine player, and the loose especially, he puts himself about, but he showed that he can scrummage. And then, of course, as you said, Dave Kilcoyne, he proved a point as well. So again,
and we must remember Jack McGrath not in the squad at all.
Jack McGrath, that's the only reason, probably that was the reason of the Cian Healy's. So what we're saying here, Miles, is that the two props that came on, along with Rob Hearn, were basically third choice, and I mean that in the nicest sense.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, the scrummage, I mean, out-scrummage, probably one of those powerful forward packs in the world. It takes some doing, and it'll be interesting to see now how Joe Smith goes. I would imagine against Fiji, he'll probably give most of the squad, a lot of guys, an opportunity. I think he's got the back row has to get a rest. Sean O'Brien played the whole game. It looked for me that that CJ Stander had virtually did the whole thing as well. Paul O'Mahony looked as when he came off as if he had a shoulder problem. So there's no real point in making it any worse. Certainly, Big Ian Henderson, Deck and Toner. But I was delighted to see Henderson front up to two Brits, that's all I would call them, those two guys in the second row for South Africa. And he never took a backward step. And at the end of the day, he was probably laughing well. But I think that's what he has learnt from that Lions tour. He might not have got on the pitch for the Lions, but I think what he has gained in experience playing against that standard. And, he's only 25 years of age, and he's the future now. Whenever Toner passes on the gloves, it'll be Henderson will take over, and then whoever the young body come along. But overall, I mean, Connor Murray, Johnny Sexton, I mean, it was so easy. The one thing, Miles, and I mentioned with Kenny yesterday as well, that I was slightly disappointed in that. I don't mean that. I don't want to sound as if I'm giving off now because Ireland won and everything. But I was disappointed that Joe Smith put Bundy Aki straight on. I certainly think he was worth an opportunity, maybe in the Fiji game. But what does that say to all the young Irish aspiring centres? McCluskey, Chris Farrell, Burns, from the two guys from Leinster. They've been playing their hearts out this season. And all of a sudden, because Bundy Aki is available 10 days after the deadline to play, in that one, it's Joe Smith's call, and Bundy Aki certainly put in a good couple of big tackles. But I'd like to have seen him held back maybe and get a few minutes against Fiji. Let him earn his keep rather than just walk straight on.
Well, Joe normally picks his team based on the training, and he must have seen enough to be confident to put him in against South Africa.
I don't think there's any doubt in the Bundy Aki, but it's the old argument, of course, Miles, we've had, about people coming in from the Southern Hemisphere. It's the same in all the countries. And as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, the way Simon Zeebo has been treated, Simon Zeebo hasn't even signed for a French club, yet he's been discarded by Ireland. And certainly, I think a Simon Zeebo yesterday at full-back would have been superb. Rob Kearney had a reasonable game, but to be quite honest, he never was under pressure, because most of the kicks he got, he had about 5 yards to catch them, and therefore that. But I just have this thing, I saw Tommy Bowe mentioned as well, I just have this thing, I think you should earn the green jersey. I don't think it'd be hard at the
Well, I suppose it's the rules. He's playing by the rules, but I understand the point you're making.
Yep. So, I think why I'm saying this, Miles, and why I feel quite strongly about it, is that, I mean, the RFU said Ruan Pienaar couldn't stay at Ulster because he was stopping the development of scrum halves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is there any difference between Bundyaki coming in, who's 26 years of age, but nevertheless, there's a lot of young, promising centres in Ireland from all the provinces, and they were hoping maybe they'd get a call. They'll get their opportunity probably against Fiji, and who knows then what happens against Argentina. But I just think it's a thing that I have always thing. I always think you should earn a jersey rather than be given it.
Tell me, was Ruan Pienaar not eligible to play for Ireland, or does it depend on the individual whether they want to?
He played for South Africa so many times, and therefore his residency wouldn't have come into it. But the point that I'm making is that the principle being, you know, if you're stopping the development of Irish scrum halves, then Bundyaki technically is stopping the development of Irish centres. Yes, he's technically able to play for Ireland after 3 years, but he is a Samoan New Zealander, stroke, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just take a quick look at the other internationals. Italy defeating Fiji, Scotland coming to beat Samoa. Not much in either games.
Well, I mean, the Italy game against Fiji, I mean, you know, when you see the performances of those Italian sides now in the Pro 14, and especially Treviso, you can see that the influence of Michael Bradley is having with them, and therefore he'll be very much... you know, coordinate with Conor O'Shea. I'll be very, very pleased with that result.
Mm-hmm.
19-10, because, you know, Fiji are not an easy side to play, and so physically they must have done well. The Scotland-Samoa game, now, I didn't see it on the tape, but apparently it was an absolute cracker, 44-38. I mean, anybody at Murrayfield yesterday made good value for money.
They sure did, 82 points.
But Scotland, you know, if they're going to play the Gregor Townsend way, and we saw what he did with Glasgow, and if he keeps that going, come a Six Nations, Scotland are going to be a team that has to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. So are England beating Argentina, although I suppose expected to do that, but I read there where Mr. Jones suggesting that England are not fit enough and will have to improve for the World Cup.
Well, certainly, I mean, I heard about 10 minutes when I was driving in from Judges Road on the radio, and certainly they were saying that in the second half, I don't think there was a point scored in the second half or of England, but nevertheless, you would expect it more. I heard the Jones comment then, of course, I saw a counter one from one of the players was saying that he'd trained them too hard during the week. Miles, I have to laugh at this. When a full-time professional gets tired, I can't believe this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whenever we were playing, you were supposed to train 3 nights a week and still do a job of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you think back to the old days, I know the game has progressed, but, you know, it's the same with when you hear premier footballers saying they're tired after playing 20 games. I mean, surely at 25 or 26 years of age, that's what you want to do all your life, 5 days a week rather than that. But it'll be interesting to see just what changes he makes in the next game. Jones, I mean, at least he's honest about things.
Well, he speaks his mind normally, yes. He sure does. Tell me, the other two games, Wales against Australia and France against New Zealand, Southern Hemisphere teams just that little bit too strong?
I see. I mean, as I say, I've taped all those, but I haven't a chance to watch them. Australia coming through 29-21. They'll be quite pleased, although they finished the championship very, very strongly. And also that game that they played, you know, the one that they won.
They beat New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah. And that one, so they'll be interesting to see. The France-New Zealand game, I know, 38-18. That would be, of course... I suppose, Miles, your listeners will be delighted to know that they also play New Zealand, or France and New Zealand also play on Tuesday night. And at the moment, they have got one hand on the Dave Gallagher Cup, which is played for every time they come. So, you know, the old Letterkenny one coming back into it.
Yeah, or maybe to be more specific, Remelton.
Remelton.
Well,
yeah,
the Dave Gallagher grounds are in Letterkenny, all right, but I think that Remelton will be claiming Dave Gallagher.
Well, I think, and rightly so, I think. But you know, it's nice that it's remembered and that, and it's a big,
yes.
it's a big game for the New Zealanders, especially because normally before the games in France, they would go to to see the grave where Dave Gallagher sadly lost his life.